Imagine a powerful being with hypnotic eyes who is at home in the jungle, able to move through it in absolute silence. A being so skilled and cunning that it can hunt in the trees, on the ground, and in the water. A being that is the subject of legend and mythology, exalted as a deity by kings and royal courts, a subject depicted in myriad ways in paintings, sculpture, and other artworks over centuries. A being with such beauty, such electrifying mystique that it could stop you in your tracks by its mere motionless presence. That is the jaguar, and it's the essence of the energy that we're dealing with in the context of this Ish, Jaguar Trisina. It has the potential to be a big, powerful, stop you in your tracks kind of force that can bring in great transformation. Welcome to episode 5 of Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. My name is Marguerite Paquin, and I have been working with the Maya calendar for several decades and providing an online horoscope to highlight the days. This podcast is an accompaniment to that horoscope blog for the purpose of extending the information and providing an audio option for those who may prefer to listen rather than read. The emphasis for both is on connections between the energies of the Maya calendar and events going on in the world, and ways in which these energies relate to personal lives. For those who might be new to this, I gave a brief overview of this system in episode 1, explaining how the cycle of 260 days that we're working with here represents interconnections between 20 unique days in combination with 13 unique numerical powers to create a count of days called a Dzogchen. Each of the 260 days in the cycle is unique, and every person carries the energetic imprint of the forces that were in play at the time of their birth. Those energies greatly influence how people see and interact in the world, and both the blog and the podcast follow the Mesoamerican calendrical tradition of timekeeping involving tristinas, 13-day periods that represent particular energetic themes, for a total of 20 different Trisina periods within a 260-day cycle. In episode 4, we were dealing with the Emish Trisina, the first Trisina of the new 260-day cycle that began on May 14th. The theme was birth, the opening up of a whole new realm of possibilities. And during the past 13 days, opening up was the big thing on the minds of millions. How do we reopen businesses? How do we revamp lives so we can move forward while still staying safe during this pandemic, during this whole new reality that has taken over our lives? Let's look for a moment at that new reality. From the start of the last Trisina on May 14th to the start of this Ish Jaguar Trisina, May 27th, there have been well over a million new coronavirus cases on this planet and over 50,000 deaths related to it. That's new cases. Of the almost 5,800,000 cases registered since the pandemic began in late December, over 2.5 million have recovered. But many new focal points have been identified as being on the rise. At this point, 215 countries and territories have been added to the pandemic list. The situation in Brazil is particularly dire, as over 400,000 cases have been found there. Russia is just behind that in terms of numbers, with cases rapidly rising in both countries by the thousands on a daily basis. The U.S., at well over 1,740,000 cases, continues to top the list, adding 30,000 to that list during the course of the last decennia. The death toll there is now over 100,000, with the numbers and death tolls rising in at least 34 states by this time. The horror of what's happening seems to increase every day as those numbers rise, and many take their cues as to how to conduct themselves from the destructor-in-chief rather than from medical experts. The health implications that tie in with the many large super-spreader events that took place over the Memorial Day weekend may not be revealed until the end of this current tricina, with that final day being 13 Kimi, transformational death. Given how many events like that were happening then at that time during that weekend, the likelihood of the numbers not rapidly rising during this period is very remote. As the World Health Organization warned, just as the last tricina was ending, that the world is still only in the first phase of the pandemic and the virus is still on the rise. The recommendation was that preventative measures should be maintained, especially social distancing. And of course, it's not only North America that needs to be vigilant, as numbers are rising rapidly in Latin America, especially Brazil. And who knows what's happening in Venezuela? It just seems odd that the numbers there are low, given how high they are in Brazil. But if they do go up in Venezuela, there have been warnings that Venezuela is poorly equipped to deal with it. The situation still seems to be hidden from view. And then there's Africa, South Asia, India, and all the festivals and other events that have the potential to bring people together in massive numbers. This current Ish Tricina would bring in, under normal circumstances, the huge Ganga Dussehra festival, where hundreds of thousands of Hindus from various parts of India would make their way to the holy river Ganges to take part in purification and healing rituals. According to Hindu tradition, the Ganges River is seen as the incarnation of the goddess Ganga, who descends to earth at this time. So bathing or taking a dip or doing rituals in or by that river is seen as a way to receive salvation or absolution from sins or to achieve moksha, liberation. This year, many of those celebrations have been cancelled due to the pandemic. But the question is, will people do it anyway? And with what results? While conducting some other form of purification would be a safer alternative with regard to this particular festival, there are so many more that would normally come up during the year. So many that would involve massive groups of people. We shall see. The other part of this is the need for people to sort out how to deal with economics, both locally and globally. In the blog related to this topic, I mentioned that the jaguar is often a muse for people who, having reached their limit in some way, might be compelled to become jaguar warriors, fearlessly heading into battle for particular causes. These days, of course, there are hundreds of thousands of jaguar warriors on duty in the world. And anyone born on an Ish day or born within this tricina would be particularly good candidates. I'll be highlighting a few of them in the context of this podcast. Such warriors would also be working with Quetzalcoatl, the life force-oriented twin to the jaguar, who serves as the patron energy for these 13 days. This is an energy combination that can bring forth high drama and head spinning change. So let's get on with looking at the days, starting with May 27th. Yesterday's one ish, the initiation of the Jaguar's power of transformation. That was the day when a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket was scheduled to make an historic launch from Kennedy Space Center. The launch of the first manned U.S. space mission since NASA's Space Shuttle program ended in 2011. Astronauts Robert Behnken and Douglas Hurley were ready to embark on SpaceX's first crewed launch in NASA's Commercial Crew program aboard the SpaceX Crew Dragon. Just 16 minutes before launch, the flight was shut down due to the danger of lightning. As NASA's administrator put it, there was simply too much electricity in the atmosphere. While this was undoubtedly disappointing for a good many people, not the least of whom were the astronauts, I had to smile because one ish is a very electrical kind of force. The initiation, the first day of these Jaguar-like energies, as the Jaguar settles in, so to speak, to push that force through and align with the rest of the days during this period. The flight is now rescheduled for Saturday, which will be Fork Ban, and that too is a big deal energy within this system. If you can picture the Aztec Sunstone, that enormous carved stone in the Museum of Anthropology in Mexico City that depicts a calendar wheel. That's Aztec, by the way, not Maya, as many people mistakenly believe. But if you can picture that and see the face in the center of it, with sort of spokes coming off the sides, that is a depiction of four movement, known as Four Caban in the Maya system. So that's the day when, fingers crossed, that launch is rescheduled to happen. NASA has been urging the public not to attend the launch in person, but I don't know how that went today, given that people have not necessarily been following official directions. Assuming that all goes well, the Crew Dragon capsule would arrive at the International Space Station the following day, which will be 5 ETSNAB. Now, here's where I would have to say heads up, because this is a very, very, very consequential energy. I've highlighted a few 5 ETSNAB events in the blog that I'll reemphasize here, along with a few other things. Symbolically, this is a knife-edged kind of energy that can be quite dazzling and attention-getting. It's represented by obsidian, which can be made into sharp knives or blades, and is a substance that can create sparks and fire. This is an energy that also contains the potential to bring things to a definitive conclusion, as in the official surrender of Japan at the end of World War II in 1945. In 1969, this was in place when the huge mobilization peace, that is, the mobilization to end the war in Vietnam demonstrations, took place in Washington, D.C., where some 500,000 to 600,000 people took part in the largest single anti-war protest in U.S. history at that time. In 1974, under this influence, there was an attempted assassination of President Nixon. And then in 2006, there was an actual assassination on 5 ETSNAB of Lebanese cabinet minister Pierre Gamal when his car was ambushed in Beirut. He was a Christian living in a Muslim region who spoke out against the idea that Western interference was to blame for problems in the Arab world. Obviously, that did not go well. But the most striking event under this influence was the disastrous U.S. presidential election in 2016. It may have been an electrifying day for the Republican candidate's supporters, but for everyone else, it was a world-stopping, what kind of day, known to some as the groan heard round the world. Global stock markets went into a tailspin, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average took a dramatic plunge. Headlines showed the world reacting with shock and disbelief. Some saw it as evidence of a collapsing world order. A world, quote, a world collapsing before our eyes, vertigo, unquote, as the French ambassador to Washington put it. It was seen as, quote, the end of an era, that of neoliberalism, unquote. Many renamed the country, calling it the Divided States. Partway through the election, when it was trending towards his win, Canada's immigration website crashed as people searched for ways to escape. In an article titled Farewell America, written for BillMoyers.com, Neil Gabler put it bluntly when he wrote, America died on November 8, 2016, not with a bang or whimper, but at its own hand via electoral suicide. We the people chose a man who has shredded our values, our morals, our compassion, our tolerance, our decency, our sense of common purpose, our very identity. All things that, however tenuously, made a nation out of a country. A side note to this was that this was precisely 4 calendar rounds after the birth of Andrew Johnson, who became president after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And Johnson's presidency was so disastrous that he was eventually impeached. He was seen as one of the worst presidents in U.S. history. Just to refresh, a calendar round is a 52-year cycle, with all the day and month energies realigning as they return to the same position. So it's a kind of energy anniversary. More on this can be seen in the post titled Maya Calendar Rounds and Aztec New Fires in my MCA blog on my Maya Calendar Arts site. So this was a strong, strong energy echo from earlier times. And if that wasn't enough, exactly one cycle after this huge event in 2016, there was a marathon debate in the U.S. Senate, during which time the Senate rejected a proposal from Republicans to repeal Obamacare. It was a vote of 45 to 55, with 7 Republicans rejecting the bill. One cycle after that, now into early April 2018, details from James Comey's book, A Higher Truth, began coming out where he compared the Destructor-in-Chief to a mob boss that involved a silent circle of assent and loyalty oaths, an us-versus-them worldview. His leadership style was described as ego-driven, unethical, and untethered to truth and institutional values. He referred to the overall situation from the point of assuming the presidency on as the forest fire that is the Trump presidency. On that very day, tensions were high regarding the situation in Syria, as the clown-in-chief tweeted, "Get ready, Russia, the missiles are coming," which, unfortunately, was true because the strikes happened the next day, ordered by him without congressional approval. I'm just skimming here. There's so much more that went on, but let's just go on to the last time Five-Etsna-Hab was in place, last September. That was the day when two Saudi oil production facilities were attacked and set ablaze by drones. This was an attack on one of the world's largest oil-producing facilities, the source of one-tenth of the world's crude oil, so it caused great concern. Several days later, towards the end of the Trissina, approval was given to sending U.S. troops over. That was the day when columnist Robert Reich published an article titled, "Trump is seriously, frighteningly, dangerously nuts, and the world is in danger." At the same time as three Republican challengers to Trump, Sanford, Walsh, and Weld, warned Republicans that the party has taken a wrong turn and was heading down the road to totalitarianism. So, as I said, this is definitely a heads-up kind of force. In 2016, the day after the election was 6th Kawak, so again, this is the day after 5-Etsna-Hab. That day brought massive anti-Trump demonstrations in many major cities, including Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Boston, Los Angeles, San Francisco, all across the country, including smaller cities such as Kansas City and Austin, Texas, with people carrying "Not My President" signs. The front page of the New York Daily News showed a picture of the White House with an upside-down American flag in front of it with the headline, "House of Horrors." The website of Immigration New Zealand received over 56,000 visits from people in the U.S. Under this same 6-Kawak, which is a storm kind of influence, in 2017, it was reported that the West Wing of the White House was in complete turmoil, imploding as one reporter saw it. The chief of staff resigned later on that day. And on it went. How many other resignations and firings have there been since then? Has anyone been keeping count? In 2016, the demonstrations basically continued throughout this Trissina, and more horrors have continued almost daily. Let's get back to the present for a moment. A few minutes ago, I was talking about the Ganga Dussehra festival that normally would begin at this time on 6-Kawak. This is a very watery, storm everywhere kind of influence. Given the present situation, hopefully people will exercise caution and try to keep themselves and others safe. But this festival has to do with taking a dip in the Ganges as a way to absolve sins. Within this tradition, there are 10 specified sins that can be absolved in this manner, 4 of which are verbal. They include speaking harsh words, telling lies, complaining about others, and irrelevant rambling. The desire to harm others and focusing on irrelevant topics, deception and distraction would likely fit in here, are considered to be high on the list of mental sins. I think we can all think of someone who needs to take a good long dip for a very long time, maybe for eternity, if he's ever going to be absolved of all that. But even then, it's doubtful that that's possible. The tradition seems to be that some of the big sins can be washed away in this manner, if they're not committed intentionally. If they are intentional, well, even Mother Ganges couldn't help in that regard. Let's go down to the day known as 9-Eek that comes in on June 4th. This is the calendrical day sign or birth energy of the feathered serpent deity known as Eikatl, Quetzalcoatl, traditionally seen as symbolic of spirit, breath, culture, the arts, and things of a life-giving nature. A very powerful energy, both mythologically and historically, the sacred twin of the jaguar. It's been associated with far-reaching communication and is representative of the winds that can blow in multiple directions to bring about change. Tornadoes have often manifested under this influence, as well as major protest demonstrations. One example of an individual who exemplified how such a force might work in the world was Pauline Sabine, born under this influence in 1887. Very active in politics and a Republican Party official in the early 20th century, she became concerned about the effects of prohibition on children and wanted to see some reforms. Towards this end, she founded a group called the Women's Organization for National Prohibition Reform and brought their concerns to Congress, where she told the House Judiciary Committee that young people, particularly teenagers, were seeing the law broken every day. At home, in speakeasies, and on the street, with regard to illegal drinking. She said she was speaking for all the mothers in the country who were feeling that something needed to be done to protect their children. She was seen as a wealthy, elegant, socially prominent, politically well-connected, and highly charismatic New Yorker, who became a symbol for independent women. Her strong convictions enabled her to build this reform group's membership to almost 1.5 million in less than 2 years, triple the membership of the pro-prohibition Women's Christian Temperance Union. Her push for the kind of reforms that would protect families from the crime and corruption caused by prohibition landed her on the cover of Time magazine in 1932, about 1.5 years before prohibition was accomplished. The following day, which will be June 5th, is Ten Akbal, which is a combination of the foundational energy of Source, the number 10, in conjunction with darkness, as in the temple associated with deep esoteric mysteries. It's a kind of double jaguar type of force. One example here could be Sir Nicholas Winton, a British humanitarian who supervised the rescue of 669 children, most of them Jewish, from Czechoslovakia on the eve of World War II. In a secretive operation named Kindertransport, German for children's transport, he found homes for all the children and arranged for their safe passage to Britain. He was dubbed the British Schindler by the British press and was knighted by Queen Elizabeth for services to humanity in saving Jewish children from Nazi Germany occupied Czechoslovakia. In 2014, he was awarded the highest honor of the Czech Republic, the Order of the White Lion. He lived to be 106 and was honored with a Google Doodle on what would have been his 111th birthday on May 19th. The following day, 11 Khan is a kind of inspirational energy related to youthful vitality, also tied in with change. And the last time this was in place, it was the start of the Global Week for Future Youth Climate Action Strike that began with some 300,000 people protesting across Australia, even as far as the outback, in the largest demonstration in Australian history. Some 4 million students in more than 150 countries took part in the worldwide walkout. Over the following week, an estimated 6 million took to the streets across cultures and generations in the biggest ever climate mobilization to demand urgent action to the climate crisis. So basically, it began in this Tresina and then went into the next. This is the Maya birth energy of Anandibai Joshi, the first woman from India to graduate with a degree in Western medicine in the late 19th century. I mention her for many reasons, not only because she was a dedicated healer, and healers these days are rightly seen as heroes, but because this woman was heroic and inspirational in many ways, embodying her 11 Khan birth energy. She was born in 1865 in Kailan, India, married at age 9 to a widower, and had a child at age 14 who only lived for 10 days for lack of medical care. It was this event that inspired her to become a physician. She first had to learn to read and speak Sanskrit and English, and her husband encouraged her to study medicine. With his assistance, she was able to enroll in the Women's Medical College of Pennsylvania. Although many in India were opposed to this whole idea of her pursuing higher education in the West, she gave an address to Serampore College in West Bengal, stressing the need for female doctors in India and the need for improvements in midwifery, stressing the need for women to serve as physicians for Hindu women. Her speech received publicity, and financial contributions started pouring in from all over India. Anandibai began her medical training in the U.S. at age 19. Unfortunately, she was not strong, and while in the U.S., her health worsened because of the cold weather and unfamiliar diet, and she then contracted tuberculosis. Despite all this, she graduated as an MD in March of 1886, having written a thesis on obstetrics that brought in references from both Ayurvedic and American medical textbooks. When she graduated, Queen Victoria sent her a congratulatory message. When she returned to India, she was put in charge of a female ward in a local hospital, but unfortunately succumbed to tuberculosis the following year, in 1887, just before her 22nd birthday. Her death on 5 Kimi, basically a blessing of death, was mourned throughout India. She has since been the subject of books, a play, a movie, and even a Google Doodle. The Institute for Research and Documentation in Social Sciences in Lucknow has been awarding the Anandibai Joshi Award for Medicine in honor of her early contributions to the cause of advancing medical science in India. And the government of Maharashtra has established a fellowship in her name for young women working on women's health. A crater on Venus has even been named in her honor. So here was a very, very young woman with a dream. A young woman who suffered great hardship in her early life. A woman who was physically weak but had great strength of spirit, who pushed through regardless and has left an indelible legacy. Very 11 Khan, very inspirational, youthful spirit, whose legacy has touched the stars, like one of those spots on a jaguar's pelt, as in the ancient legends that compare the jaguar to the night sky filled with stars. In my blog, I note that the final day of this trisena is 13 kimi, transformational death or transformational foundations, a powerful return to source type of force that can often pack a huge punch. This is World Oceans Day, a reminder that jaguar warriors are greatly needed in that area as well, since scientists remind us that if we continue on our current path with regard to pollution, there will be more plastic than fish in our oceans by 2050. This is a huge, huge problem getting worse every day with regard to the plastic that is being produced and consumed. Two cycles ago, as of this date, the New York Times ran a scathing and very to-the-point article written by columnist David Leonhardt, who pointed out in very stark terms how the destroyer-in-chief is so demonstrably unfit for office. He then highlighted the pressing need to remove him from office and highlighted whole categories of issues to emphasize the ways in which that unfitness has been demonstrated. Published at the beginning of last year, the writer pointed out that it's becoming clear that 2019 is likely to be dominated by a single question: what are we going to do about it? Although he said that voters could wait it out until 2020, he emphasized then that waiting is too dangerous. The cost of removing a president from office is smaller than the cost of allowing this president to remain. As of this day, it has been 520 days since the publication of that article, and the cost of not removing him is now incalculable. As always, there's much more that can be said about all this, but before I finish, I want to make mention of someone else born during this trisena. Henry David Thoreau, born on Two Men, the Visionary Second Day. In his classic book called Walden, he wrote a passage that is well worth pondering at this time of personal isolation, as people are attempting to fan the flames of creativity in order to move forward. In Walden, there is a wonderful passage about creativity that reads like this. There was an artist in the city of Kuru who was disposed to strive after perfection. One day, it came into his mind to make a staff. Having considered that in an imperfect work, time is an ingredient, but into a perfect work, time does not enter, he said to himself, "It shall be perfect in all respects, though I should do nothing else in my life." He proceeded instantly to the forest for wood, being resolved that it should not be made of unsuitable material. And as he searched for and rejected stick after stick, his friends gradually deserted him, for they grew old in their works and died. But he grew not older by the moment. His singleness of purpose and resolution and his elevated piety endowed him, without his knowledge, with perennial youth. As he made no compromise with time, time kept out of his way, and only sighed at a distance because he could not overcome him. Before he had found a stock in all respects suitable, the city of Kuru was a hoary ruin, and he sat on one of its mounds to peel the stick. Before he had given it the proper shape, the dynasty of Kandahars was at an end, and with the point of the stick he wrote the name of the last of that race in the sand and then resumed his work. By the time he had smoothed and polished the staff, Kalpa was no longer the pole star, and air he had put on the ferrule and the head adorned with precious stones, Brahma had awoke and slumbered many times. But why do I stay to mention these things? When the finishing stroke was put to his work, it suddenly expanded before the eyes of the astonished artist into the fairest of all the creations of Brahma. He had made a new system in making a staff, a world with full and fair proportions, in which, though the old cities and dynasties had passed away, fairer and more glorious ones had taken their places. And now he saw, by the heap of the shavings still fresh at his feet, that for him and his work, the former lapse of time had been an illusion, and that no more time had elapsed than is required for a single scintillation from the brain of Brahma to fall on and inflame the tinder of a mortal brain. The material was pure, and his art was pure. How could the result be other than wonderful? There's nothing like creative engagement to take your mind off the problems of the world. Food for thought. Just about time to wrap up here. So for anyone listening to this from somewhere other than my website, you can find more information about all this in my Maya Count of Days horoscope, either by going to whitepuppress.ca and clicking on horoscope blog, or going to my mayacalendararts.com and clicking on horoscope blog. That site includes earlier podcasts, other information on Maya Calendrix, some posts that I've written on topics such as birth dates and energy cycling, and some jottings about things that I offer, such as coaching services and personalized artworks. For anyone who might like some assistance directly from me in terms of exploring how these energies may work within your own lives, especially if you're working on your own personal transformations and wondering how best to use your own birth energy as part of that, or even if you're wondering how you might best become a Jaguar Warrior or even help others to do so, there are a number of options outlined on that Maya Calendar Arts site. And there are many, many ways in which to work with these energies, not all of which are listed there. It's just a brief point of reference. Feel free if you wish to contact me if you have any questions. Contact information is in the websites, as well as information on subscribing to the horoscope blog if you'd like to receive automatic updates every 13 days. I'll finish up here by mentioning a short interview published a few days ago by the Vancouver Sun. It was a short interview with acclaimed Haida artist Robert Davidson, one of Canada's national treasures, and someone, frankly, dear to my heart. During the interview, Robert mentioned that we're in a state of Ilda, transformation. We all have what it takes to weather this change, he said. Creativity will see us through. I've learned many Haida words from Robert over the years, and that's a good one. I hope I pronounced it properly. But it's true, we are in a state of profound transformation, and we do have what it takes, if we keep our wits about us. We can all be Jaguar Warriors at this time, even if we weren't born during this period. It is creativity that will see us through. Hang in there as we walk with the Jaguar through this period. Keep safe, be well. Love to you all.